chuckles. My older cousin, 21, is the prince of our little group of mayhem. Slick blonde hair, sharp jaw, green eyes like some elf, and fucking dimples. The problem with him is that he's wiser than should be allowed. It makes him a little boring, just saying. He's worlds apart from his younger brother, Kill, who's my age. Dark hair, piercing blue eyes, and possesses the personality of a serial killer. My favorite type of personality, the crazier the better. He's a prick, but at least he's a prick who doesn't try to stop me from causing mayhem, and under certain circumstances he endorses and encourages it. Why would you even talk to your dick? Jeremy asks, looking half curious, half petrified, which is pretty much the standard when it comes to me. We're having a difference of opinion. We'll come to an agreement sooner or later. Or you can take care of that ED we talked about earlier. I can hook you up with one of my professors in the local hospital. Kill muses as he strolls past me and sits on the sofa, grinning like a fucker who'll have that Colgate smile smashed when I knock out his fucking teeth. If you want to see my dick again, just say so. I grab my belt, ready to die on this hill. Gareth slams his hand on mine, a terrified expression covering his features. Don't show us your dick, Nico. Seriously, why do you feel the need to get naked whenever someone mentions your dick? We're cousins, for fuck's sake. Well, your brother keeps running his mouth about ED, and I want to prove that I don't have it. We believe you, Jeremy grunts with obvious displeasure. Keep that thing in your pants. No one in this room wants to see it.
I don't believe you.
Kill lifts a shoulder as he toys with the remote. Kill, Gareth growls. Stop encouraging his crazy or he'll be walking around naked for a couple of days.
Good idea.
I snap my fingers at him. You're so smart, Gaz. His face falls. Please don't. Killian throws his head back in laughter while Jeremy sighs for the thousandth time since he got here, and then sits beside him. His state of bubbling displeasure might have to do with me, but I honest to fuck don't know what I did or am doing wrong. Oh, right. I snap my fingers again and sit opposite Kill and Jer. Gareth disappears in the background, and I catch a glimpse of him going up the stairs, probably to escape my pending exhibitionism, but that's a thought for another time.
What now? Kill asks with visible amusement. You gonna tell us a tale about your dick?
Tempting, but I'll have to take a rain check on that. I've been thinking.
You actually do that? Maybe we should check that head of yours when you receive that treatment for the ED.
Ha ha, hilarious, I deadpan. Now shut the fuck up. I have a very important question to ask. Have you ever been attracted to a guy? Kill crosses his legs at the ankles.
You do know that I hook up with anyone, right? Gender doesn't matter as long as they have a hole I can use.
Right. He did go on a spree similar to mine, but that was different. I don't think he's genuinely attracted to people in any shape or form. He just loves the power. I do too, so fucking much that the fact that I haven't had my fill in a while, the while being 36 hours, is causing Kolya's friends the infamous blue balls situation. Kill is useless. Next.
What about you, Jer?
I don't find men attractive. He frowns. What's this about?
Yeah, Nico, don't tell me you're having a sexuality crisis after you've been bi for over 4 years.
I ignore Kill because he's too man-whorish to offer me the angle I'm looking for and sit on the coffee table leaning into Jeremy's space. Why have you never been attracted to men?
Because I prefer women. What kind of question is that?
My face is so close to his, anyone else would be intimidated and jerk back. But Jeremy doesn't even breathe differently or attempt to move. He's so confident in his straight sexuality that he's not fazed by my outwardly weird behavior.
You got a boner for Jeremy?
Kill asks from the side, like a witch that will be burned in hell while Satan cackles manically.
Nope,
I push back. He's straighter than straight. Thanks, Jer mutters. That wasn't a compliment. He releases that defeated sigh again. What's going on, Nico? Give me someone to maim. That's what's going on. I jump up and run up the stairs three at a time, sprint down the hall, then whip the door to Gareth's room open and shove it against the wall. He looks up from his desk, pausing on doing homework like a boring prick. Jesus, if he didn't indulge in some violence on occasion, I would have already disowned him. No cousin of mine becomes boring and gets away with it.
Gee, thanks for the death scare. Please don't tell me you'll start stripping.
I stalk toward him, eyes narrowed.
Don't you dare, Nico, or I swear I'll tell Aunt Rye about your annoying habits.
Have you ever been attracted to men? It's subtle, and I probably wouldn't have noticed it if I'd stayed by the door, but Gareth's eyes widen a little. He drops his pen on his notebook and exhales loudly.
What are you talking about?
You've always fucked women, but have you done that because you feel you have to due to peer pressure and what's defined by society as normal, or because you want to?
What is this about?
He stands up.
What did you hear?
What should I have heard? His face falls for a fraction of a second and I step into his space.
So? What? Tell me, what should I have heard?
He pushes me away.
Stop doing that shit.
Not until you answer my question. He runs a hand over his face.
I love women. Happy?
What about men?
I don't know. Could be.
His eyes spark like a tropical forest before he clears his throat.
Why are you probing?
I'm testing something. When did you discover you like men?
I don't like men, Jesus.
He jogs to the door and slams it shut, then leans against it, arms and ankles crossed.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I love fucking women, but...
But what? I walk up to him and then peer down at him until I can see the tiny freckles on his nose. What changed your mind?
I didn't change my mind. And seriously, stop looking so intense. It's creepy.
Blah, fucking blah. Just tell me what made your straight ass sway on the line. Figuratively, of course. I grin. Or is it literally?
Fuck you, asshole.
He closes his eyes with pure exasperation.
If you tell anyone about this, especially Kill, I'll murder you.
I won't, if you just fess up. What made you change lanes?
I'm not sure I did, or would, for that matter. It's just one person. That's it.
One person. One person. That's it. Fucking interesting. I ruffle Gareth's hair and offer courses in butt stuff, but I'm not even done enumerating things he should know before he proceeds to throw me out and shut the door in my face. His groans can be heard through the door as I grin and walk down the hall. On a scale of straighter than straight Jer to fluid as lube Kill to confused as shit Gareth, I wonder where Brandon King falls. Not that I'm tempted to find out. That would be crazy. Just kidding, I am crazy. A week later, I'm lurking by the entrance of the elite's mansion at 5:30 in the fucking morning. You know, where Brandon lives with his insufferable brother Landon and a bunch of their family/friends. Believe me, I'd never dream of waking up this early, but I can't exactly survive on images of him trapped beneath me and wiggling his ass against my cock. Kolya, the traitorous bitch who'd deserve castration if I wasn't a major sexual being, still twitches at those memories. Something he wasn't interested in despite all the porn shows I presented him with, both live and recorded. He's being a dick, literally. Which brings me to this amateurish stalking mission. I might have visited Brand's Instagram and seen all the stories he posts every single day at 5:30 like clockwork. Sure enough, the small gate on the side creaks open and he steps outside, stretching under the hint of sun. He's dressed in loose shorts and a fitted green t-shirt that clings to his muscles like a second skin. Fucking hot. Now, if he weren't so groomed with his shaven face, styled hair, and general sophisticated appearance, he'd be even hotter. I love my men filthy, unkempt, and rugged around the edges. Women are soft and pliant and should be worshipped. Men are to be used. Who am I kidding? Both are to be used. And he's not one of my men. Jesus Christ, the fuck is wrong with my thought process? Must be the lack of sleep. Has to be. Only psychos wake up this early every day for a satanic ritual. Sure enough, he retrieves his phone from his armband. Of course, the prick has an armband. Goes so well with his pristine, clean image. And snaps a picture of the sky, then his fingers tap on the screen. I grab my phone, from my shorts pocket like a normal human being, and check the story. It's an aesthetic picture containing part of the gate and the looming sun. Hashtag new day. It's literally the only hashtag he uses on these posts, as if he's planning to kill his audience with the repetitive caption. Brandon tucks his phone back into the armband and touches the earbuds in his ears, elegantly, I might add, as if he's handling a million-dollar painting. All his movements are slow, unhurried. No, not slow, controlled. His favorite uptight behavior seems to pour from him in everything he does. I bet he doesn't know how to have fun. I'd feel bad for him if I weren't itching to tackle him to the ground and pummel his beautiful face a few times. Though beautiful isn't quite the right word. He's not pretty like a girl, or beautiful like a colorful flower on the side of the road. He's handsome. Sharp jawline, hard eyes, straight nose, and a set of full lips that would look divine around a cock. Kolya wholeheartedly agrees, considering the significant change in his moody state. I have to adjust my erection and shake my head. Stop thinking about Brandon and Dick. They obviously don't mesh. In fact, the logical thing to do is turn around and leave. But then again, I was never much of a logical person. If I don't stay, I'll come back tomorrow. And if I leave tomorrow, I'll return the day after. It's an itch at this point. As Brandon starts running down the road, I release a sigh, tuck my phone back in my shorts, and follow right after. I'm just going to find out if he's as confused as Gareth, and if he is, I'll help offer pointers. Consider it charity work. That's it. That's all. I catch up to him in no time, keeping a few yards between us. His back muscles ripple beneath his shirt, and his hamstrings extend and repress, causing his shorts to ride up his thighs with every step. Hypnotic. My gaze keeps flitting to the round globes of his ass, though, all peachy and shit. If he's straighter than straight, it's such a shame to leave that ass empty. Brandon seems lost in whatever is playing in his ears because he doesn't notice when I close the distance between us. I keep running at his pace, right behind him. Now, I know I'm supposed to be on a stalkerish mission, but it's impossible to stay away from his spellbinding pull. Fuck it. I pluck one of his AirPods out and whisper into his ear, "Long time no see. Miss me?"
4. Brandon. I'm a creature of habit, neurotically so, in every sense of the word. Without my carefully laid out routine, I'd crumble and crash into a million irreparable pieces. Without my punctual set of actions, I'm nothing. So every day I wake up at 5, no exception, not during holidays, not after a night of drinking or partying, or doing whatever is expected from a uni student. 5. Always. Every single day. Then I put on my clothes, do a smoothie, and go for a run at 5:30. Back at 7. Shower. Breakfast. Wallow in my studio for another hour or two. Then school. Then I go to practice with the lacrosse team. More wallowing. Talking, smiling, laughing, caring, texting, liking, being. Existing. Day in and day out, I have to exist. To be out there and fucking stay there. In the middle of people with blurry faces and names and personalities. All day I tell myself that I belong with them. That I'm not, in fact, battling with incessant nausea that saturates my lungs with every breath. That's what I do best. Pretend. Swallow it all down. Smile. Again and again and fucking again, until I can crawl back to my studio, stare at my soul in the form of a blank canvas, then shower longer than necessary. I scrub myself clean, turning my skin as red as a tomato, and that's the only way I can tune out for the day. Then I have herbal tea and go to sleep at 10:30. That is, if I'm not dragged to a party by my friend Remy, who likes to have fun on an everyday basis. Sometimes I can shoo him away and keep to my sleeping schedule, but other times he'll be armed with our other friends, and I can't say no. Rejecting invitations constantly doesn't fit well in the pretending agenda now, does it? My inconsistent sleeping schedule scratches at my neurotic side like an unreachable itch, but I deal with it, logically, by waking up at 5 the next day and resuming the cycle. That's why I nearly lost it after the godforsaken initiation I shouldn't have set foot into. That event was a major deviation from my usual habits, and it took me more than just waking up at 5 to get over it. But I did, eventually, because I'm in control. The whole ludicrous experience is in the past. Or, that's what I thought. Another unexpected event just slammed into my steel wall, putting a dent in it and sweeping my perfect cycle into a ditch. My feet come to a halt as I peer back at the waste of space of a human whom I've been trying to bleach out of my mind. And I did. I succeeded. Until he spoke just now, that is. My lungs heave in quick succession, chest rippling against my shirt, as if hoping to escape from my own fucking skin. Alternative rock keeps playing from my soul earbud, the loud beat pounding in my ear, but I can't hear anything over the constant static thumping in my skull, like whenever my carefully built life experiences a hurdle. Nikolai isn't only a hurdle. He's a fucking wall that I can't seem to shove out of the way. He doesn't notice the clusterfuck he's brought on with his mere presence, and stands there grinning like an idiot, half naked. Only a necklace with a bullet dangles on his chest. His white shorts hang so low on his hips, one wrong move would bring them down. A map of extravagant tattoos spread over his chest, shoulders, arms, and all 8 of his abs. He's stupidly muscular, in a very unnecessary way. His thick mane of hair is tied in a messy ponytail, which highlights his sharp jaw, harsh features, and unhinged eyes. I thought the bloodied mask made him seem monstrous the other time. But no, he doesn't need a crutch when he can pull off that intense and entirely unpleasant energy with his revolting face alone. He strokes my AirPod between his fingers, definitely disinfecting that later.
Is it just me, or are you looking at me like you really missed me?
I barely manage to stop my upper lip from lifting in a snarl as I snatch my AirPod. I don't even know who you are. Run along, boy. There. I threw his insult back at him. Not that I was thinking about that retort, or something similarly obnoxious hours after the initiation. I turn and start jogging again, hell-bent on finishing my run and going back to the schedule we all know and love. By we, I mean me and my unstable brain. Once again, my plan plummets to the deepest pit of hell. The damn twat catches up to me, jogging at my pace, his shoulder nearly touching mine.
It's me, Nikolai. We met the other day at the initiation. Oh, right, I was wearing the yellow stitch mask, so you didn't see my face. But it's me. Much hotter without the mask, don't you think?
I was intending to disinfect the AirPod before I used it again, but I don't have the luxury. I push it in my ear and blast the volume to the max and run faster, the trees lining the road blurring in my peripheral vision. Order. Habit. Control. I always run the same path, on the same pavement, pass by the same park, and look at the same buildings. It's intensely infuriating when they have areas of construction on some roads, and I have to take pedestrian diversions. Right now, there aren't any. I'm a fast runner, the fastest on the team, which is why I play midfield to perfection. Nikolai and his ridiculous size can't keep up with me. Now I can get back to my rhythm and forget this entire thing happened, like I thoroughly forgot about the initiation. Except for the fact that my baby sister was there. I couldn't exactly text her, "Hey, little princess, for the love of fish and chips, please tell me I was seeing things and you weren't at the heathen's initiation," because that would give away that I was there. although she did do a double take, so she could have recognized me despite the mask. Either way, it's absolutely not happening. My love language is shielding those I love, my precious sister included, from the mess that is my existence. So there's no way I would have voluntarily divulged I was there. I did text and meet up with her, and she seemed fine, aside from the fact that Killian Carson, another member of the Heathens, posted a picture of him kissing her, or, more accurately, eating her face. I must admit I was alarmed and Lan lost his damn mind over it. Killian, coincidentally Nikolai's cousin, isn't the type of guy we want our sister with. But she assured me it's okay, and that she knows what she's doing. Lan definitely didn't listen to her, and made me join him when he went to threaten Killian and give him a deadline to leave our sister. Of course, I had to apologize on his behalf when he was rude to Killian's cousin, Mia. Despite being Nikolai's sister, she's nothing like him. She accepted the apology and invited me over for pancakes and gaming. Not Lan, me. I really didn't want to go to the Heathens, but Mia insisted, and I wanted to see Killian for myself, so I went. Fortunately, Nikolai wasn't there, but Glynn came along and I could see how she was longingly looking at Killian the whole time. After that, I was a responsible brother and reminded her to be careful and tell me if anything happens. However, giving any sort of advice always makes me feel like a massive fraud. So I let the whole thing go. Barely. Reluctantly. It's not my place, anyway. It was the first time I've seen Glynn put her foot down and vehemently refuse to listen to Lan's orders. A weight crashes against my back, and I stumble as both AirPods are plucked from my ears, and Nikolai stands in front of me, breathing as hard as I am. No, he's panting, but the up and down of his chest doesn't compare to the frantic thumping of my heart against my ribcage. "What the hell is your problem?" I snap, then bite my tongue because I don't snap. Ever.
"I was calling your name, but you weren't listening,"
he supplies casually, as if he's not witnessing my temporary loss of control in epic proportions. I shove whatever demon took over me into the darkest corner of my mind and stretch out my palm so he'll give back the AirPods. Nikolai throws one of them in his other hand, then squeezes my palm in his lips curving in an unhinged grin.
"Oh, cool, you remember. Nice to officially meet you, Brandon. Or, hold on, I actually found you a perfect nickname. Lotus Flower. You know, because you managed to bloom so beautifully while surrounded by the muddy swamp that is Landon. Isn't that so fucking poetic?"
I'm momentarily paralyzed. My neatly tucked thoughts almost topple me over into the inky black hole head first. But that doesn't happen, because I'm in control. I attempt to pull my hand from his warmer one, but he squeezes, tight, as if he's attempting to crush my bones. His grin widens, kicking the creep factor up a notch.
"Do you like it? Your new name, do you?"
"Let go," I mutter from between clenched teeth.
"But why?"
He appears genuinely puzzled.
"You're the one who offered to shake hands. I forgive you for pretending not to remember my unforgettable presence."
"You need to check your ego." He looks down at himself and then smirks.
"Perfectly awesome. Thanks for asking."
I want to pinch the bridge of my nose, but I can't, because the bastard is holding my hand hostage, tightening his grip incrementally. The worst part is that I don't think he even notices what he's doing. It hurts, damn it, but I'd dig myself a hole and rot in it before I'd admit that out loud. "My hand," I say in a thoroughly unaffected tone. He squeezes more.
"What about it?"
"Let it go."
"Do I have to? It's kind of soft and nice."
He tightens his hold again, mushing the fingers together. I have to stifle a goddamn groan? What in the bleeding livid gates of hell? Pain. It's only pain. I need my hand. So yes, you have to release it, Nikolai.
Fuck, I love the way you say my name. Though everything sounds amazing in that hot accent.
The gleam that I never quite managed to erase from my mind rushes back to the depths of his harsh eyes. Turquoise blue, brimming with sharp curiosity. Violence. It's impossible to tell with that crazy twat. He's intensity on steroids, an element I have no interest in whatsoever.
I wonder how you'd say my name in other, more intimate situations.
I pull my hand away so suddenly, he has no choice but to release me. I told you to keep your gay flirtations away from me. I'm straight. He tilts his head to the side, eyes watching me intently like a creep. What does a wacko like him think about? Aside from violence, of course. The rumors about him beating people up for sport were all I heard about him prior to the initiation. Maybe if I were more involved in the real world, instead of pretending to be, I would have found out he likes men. Though he obviously likes women as well, according to social media. I didn't search for him. He somehow landed on one of Remy's tagged pictures. I have zero interest in where he dips his dick as long as he keeps it away from me. My AirPods, I demand, not making the mistake of offering my hand this time.
You like talking in monosyllables and giving orders, don't you?
Give them back.
Bossy, I told you I love it.
Don't make me repeat myself, or so help me God. He jumps in my space so fast, I flinch, my whole body lurching back so he doesn't touch me. That manic look in his eyes rushes to the surface, all bright and destabilizing, like a lethal storm.
What? So help you God what? What are you gonna do? Don't leave me in suspense here.
He pushes into me with every word, until his naked chest heaves against mine. A dash of unknown emotions explodes and spreads through me. It's stifling and wrong, like nausea 2.0, only much worse. You know what? He can keep the AirPods. I'm not wearing that pair again anyway. I step back and he steps forward, his chest still glued to mine, his heart thumping in an irregular rhythm. Or is that mine? Not waiting to find out, I whip around and run. I have no idea where I'm going, or if I'm keeping with my usual route as I sprint between the trees. I run fast as I can, until my muscles protest and my lungs heave. That black ink is rushing after me in long swirls and sharp strokes. Imaginary hands grab onto my shirt and pull. My breathing is cracked and wrong. No. You're in control. You're always in control. Remember, always. And yet I sway as those hands clutch, twist, tug, and a hard object crashes against my back, and I'm shoved over so suddenly I fall headfirst against the ground. I cough and heave against the dirt, my lungs burning and my vision blurring. Hot breaths warm my ear. Before the very familiarly irritating voice whispers,
"Don't run away from me, Lotus Flower. This is the second time you've done it, the third if we count the initiation. I'm kinda hurt."
I release a puff of air, relishing the fact that I did not get caught by my twisted imagination. But that leads me to the realization that Nikolai is on top of me. Again. This time, his knee is wedged on my lower back. His hand squeezing my nape as he talks in my ear. Fucking again.
Eh?
He smiles, and I know this because his lips curve against the damn shell of my ear.
This position is a little familiar, not that I'm complaining.
Nikolai! I growl, my jittering nerves getting the better of me. Get the hell off me!
More, give me fucking more.
He growls into my ear. Back off!
That's it, fight me. I love this energy, Lotus Flower.
You won't love it when... I trail off before I say, I bite your head off. Good grief. This is not me.
What? I won't love it when you what?
He speaks so close. I can feel his words inside my darn ear instead of hearing them.
You need to stop cutting yourself off mid-sentence. The suspense is killing me. You're playing a bit hard to get, Prince Charming, but I'm all over that shit. Fight me. Fight me. Fucking fight me.
I elbow him. You're disgusting. Piss off. Surprisingly, he releases me, choosing to let himself fall onto his ass beside me. The disappearance of his crushing weight gives me back my normal thought process. Barely. That's when I realize I've wandered into the nearby park that I usually pass by on my runs. Early morning light slips from between the huge centuries-old trees and hits Nikolai's face. Something curious happens then. Under the soft yellow light kissing his cheek and right eye, the blue lightens to a chilling turquoise, revealing tiny flecks of gray in the irises. Blue on gray. Fascinating.
Whatever crawled up your ass better crawl right the fuck out.
He barks, all humor gone.
Call me disgusting again and I'll pummel you against the nearest tree, then hang you by the balls so that everyone sees who's the disgusting one, got it?
I shake myself out of the momentary daze, realizing I actually remained lying on my stomach despite the absence of his weight. Jumping up, I have to regulate my breathing as I glare down at him. Don't touch me again, and I won't call you that. In fact, I won't call you anything because I'd rather not speak to you ever again.
Why?
His grin returns as quickly as it disappeared, as he stands up unhurriedly like a big cat crawling out from his cave after a nap.
Afraid I'll grow on you?
I flash him my most fake smile. The chances of that happening are below zero. Better luck next life, kid.
Blah, blah, and fucking blah. Why wait when I have this life?
He frowns.
Also, why are you smiling like a creep?
My smile drops, and I snatch the AirPods from his grip. Stop following me. I mean it. I have no interest in whatever you're hinting at. He smiles wide, like an unhinged maniac on drugs. Maybe he really is high.
And how do you know what I'm hinting at?
You haven't exactly been subtle. The answer is no.
I can work with a no.
You're wasting your time. I'm straight.
That's the third time you've told me that. Someone is trying to prove a point.
He slaps my shoulder.
But hey, whatever lets you sleep at night, lotus flower.
He starts to get into my space again. His smell, bergamot and mint, filling my nostrils and clouding my senses. Fucking again. I shove him away, hard, and break into the fastest run of my running history. I eat the distance back to the mansion in no time. Forget my routine. I need to protect something a lot more important. My sanity.
5. Nikolai. So, I've picked up running lately. By lately, I mean this is the third day. The first was when I tackled Brandon to the ground and felt the flexing of his muscles as I whispered in his ear. Good times. In fact, they were infinitely more than good. Fucking hot is the word I'm looking for. There's something about shoving him around, messing with his golden boy persona. But what I enjoyed the most was trapping him beneath me, having him compliant one second and fighting the next as if his life depended on it. Kolya got his most straining hard on in a week, the first being when Brand sat on my lap. Once again, no amount of foreplay or greedy mouths and willing holes were cutting it for my newly picky dick. He couldn't even get it up or grow enough balls to leave my pants. It's another story when different images play in my head, though. I had to be a caveman and jerk off alone while picturing that blotch of red creeping up Brand's neck when I growled in his ear, or the goosebumps covering his skin when I locked him in place with a hand on his nape. He didn't fight again. He just lay there begging to be fucking used, though he'd tell you otherwise. He's kind of an asshole, that guy. While I've been having a blast running with him the past couple of days, I have a feeling it's not mutual. I've been only greeted with the narrowing of his eyes, his death glares, and the occasional puff of air from his luscious lips, not to mention his monosyllabic replies and continued orders.
Back off. Step away from me. Do not touch me. Remove your unpleasant presence from my vicinity.
He speaks like royalty. Not complaining, though. There's something about ruining a good boy that does shit to me, which is why I'm back for round three. I wait by the elite's mansion entrance, jogging in place and punching the air. I can't stay still, not when the mere thought of Bran in his shorts and fitted t-shirt sends blood rushing to my groin. I'd like to point out that I tried to remain calm, but then again, Calm and I have been at odds since I was born, and I can't possibly be expected to leave him alone. He's turning into this sweet addiction that adds meaning to my days. Solution? Try to wear him down. Creep beneath his skin. Wreak havoc on his heart in the process. He's just so fun to mess with. He's usually expressionless, unless he's faking this creepy smile that looks like a psycho. So whenever I catch him off guard, he has this deer caught in the headlights expression. A flaring of nostrils here. A bobbing of his gorgeous Adam's apple there. I'm living for that shit, literally. For 2 days, I've only been thinking about bugging the fuck out of him. 5:30 in the morning is my favorite time of the day, until further notice. Sooner or later, he'll fall at my feet like everyone else. Or more accurately, to his knees. I like to think I'm making progress in some way. Yesterday, he didn't try to run away from me, though he did attempt to use the stupid AirPods that you can bet I removed and kept hostage until the end of the run. He did pretend I wasn't there while I asked him a shitload of questions. I can't remember many of them, but they were mostly things like, what does he do after a run? What's his favorite food? Movie? Color? Hobbies? Clothes? Hair products? Cologne? Does he like the Fight Club? Violence? The crunching of people's bones? Was that a bit pushy? Who the fuck cares, to be honest? He wouldn't have answered anything even if they weren't pushy. He's not exactly cooperative, and lets my questions wash off him as if he never heard them until he runs back to his big castle. But then again, I'm nothing short of persistent and fucking love a challenge. Mom and Jeremy say I'm like a bull who doesn't stop until I get what I want, so off I go again, I guess. I have all the time in the world now that Kolya is going through a fucking abstinence period. Though he doesn't seem all that uninterested when a certain brown-haired Prince Charming is in his vicinity, which boggles my mind. Well-groomed, posh men like Bran are not my type, at all. But something about him. My movements abruptly stop when the gate creaks open and Lotus Flower steps outside dressed in black shorts and a royal blue tee that stretches over his broad shoulders, expanded chest muscles, and lean waist. He's not in your face, but he definitely has a superior build. He's toned in a lean way, hard and firm everywhere. Kolya twitches in my shorts, and I groan under my breath. Fuck, dude, I glare down at him. Make up your mind. Are you easy or hard? Pun intended. I get no answer, naturally. He's literally a dick. Lotus Flower takes his picture of the day and posts it on Instagram. I'll peek at it later after he escapes to his prince's mansion. For now, I'd rather get my fill of him, add new material to my daily jerk-off session and all that. He marches with sure, slightly forced movements down the road. His gaze flits sideways, probably searching for me, but I'm well hidden behind the trees. Can't have their cameras catching me and reporting back to the major douchebag Landon. Not that I'm opposed to pummeling that bitch to the ground and cracking his skull in two, but I'd rather not trigger any complications when I'm trying to get into his brother's pants. Or ass. Anyway, Lotus Flower keeps searching his surroundings, and I remain hidden just to fuck with him. Yesterday, I jumped to his side as soon as he rounded the corner and he was far away from the mansion's cameras. He looked at me with wide eyes and slightly parted lips, and even though that expression lasted for a fraction of a second, you can bet I added it to my mental catalog full of everything Brandon King. Today, I'm using a different strategy. Can't let him get used to my modus operandi and quit showing me those special responses. I want him to get as close as possible until I smell him, until he stops a few yards away on the dirt road and I get a front row seat of his side profile. Is he sure he's not interested? Because he dressed up so prettily for me. Though he does wear the same clothes in different colors, there's something about today's color. Blue brings out the blue in his mysterious, snobbish eyes. Though I'd rather he go shirtless so I can get a front row seat to his body and possibly sink my teeth into it. Figuratively, of course. Who the fuck am I kidding? It's definitely literally. I'm about to close the distance between us when a convertible Audi stops right in front of him. A blonde bombshell jumps out of the car wearing skimpy shorts that reveal the crease of her ass and a sports bra that barely covers her big tits. Her lips are unnatural as fuck, and she's wearing more makeup than a drag queen. She lunges at Brandon in a ferocious hug, her entire body gluing to his front.
Babe, I'm so happy you decided to give this a go again. I promise everything will be better this time. You know how much I love you, handsome.
He pats her back, but there's no enthusiasm behind his movement. His expression doesn't change, not even a little. Like a robot. I got a better reaction from him by plucking out his AirPods, Blondie. Not that I care. I don't. And yet, my hand twitches, demanding I throw her off the nearest steepest cliff. How dare she interrupt our morning ritual that's been going on for 3 days? 2. She pushes back, smiling like a model, her face soft as she coos at him and kisses the corner of his mouth. Disgusting. Oh, look at that. Brandon's favorite word.
Do we have to go on a run, though?
She pouts like a goddamn toddler.
You know I don't like that. We're waking up early, actually.
A lot of you knows are thrown around. Who is this chick? I probably saw her on his IG that I spent a whole night going through, thank you very much. Though the only occurrence I remember was 2 years ago when someone who looked like her, sans the bleached hair, was hanging on his arm. The reason she caught my attention is because he never posts pictures with girls who aren't his friends. Considering I acquainted myself with his female and male friends, I knew she was not on the list. Clara. I remember the name because I made a note to visit her IG as well, but I didn't have time since it was already 5 and I needed to get here. Who the fuck are you, Clara? And what's your favorite way to die? I'm about to step into the scene and ask her just that, or maybe just scare her away. That shit comes naturally to me. Leaves crunch beneath my shoes and Brandon's head tilts in my direction, but he doesn't look at me.
You don't have to run, Clara.
He sinks his fingers into her hair, drags her head back, and slams his lips to hers. Her tongue peeks out, and he resists for a fraction of a second, keeping his lips shut, before he opens just the slightest bit, and she shoves it inside his mouth. I stand still, head cocked to the side as I watch him kissing her. Or is it the other way around? His muscles ripple and roll, his back rigid, his biceps bulging. Then his long fingers tighten in her hair. Fighting. That's what he's doing. He's not enjoying the act, he's fighting. What are you fighting, lotus flower? He seems to be struggling to kiss her, or maybe he's struggling to keep his libido under control. My gaze slides down to his shorts, and no, there's no erection in sight. Kolya would have gotten that in a few seconds after a heavy makeout session. Old Kolya, that is. The new one is clearly an idiot who will be written out of my will. Brandon whirls her around, so I'm greeted by her back as he deepens the kiss. I don't even look at her meaningless presence, my gaze zeroing in on his face that barely contorts, barely moves, barely feels, if at all. He's Frenching the fuck out of the girl, but his eyes are wide open, not once closing or getting lost in the act like she is. His gaze flies to mine, and I hold it, locking my eyes with his robotic ones as I cross my arms. Show me what you got, straight boy. A frown appears between his brows as if he can hear my thoughts while I remain there watching, not the show, but his face. I relish the subtle change, how his expression morphs from control to conflicted emotions. Hate? Lust? Both fucking hot if you ask me. I reach down and adjust my dick, then keep my hand there and clutch it through my shorts, showing him the damning effect he has on Kolya. He didn't even speak to me, but a mere look is enough to turn a man into the worst sinner. Brand's eyes widen. And yeah, he's definitely not focusing on Clara one bit right now. Not even a fraction of his attention is on her. Just to fuck with him, I roll my bottom lip beneath my teeth, then mouth, "Wanna give me a hand?" His eyes spark a bright shade of blue as he jerks away from Clara almost violently.
Phew, that was intense, babe.
She breathes out, and I'm about to bash her head in and send her over the cliff in her convertible. He faces away from me, but not before I see the evidence in his shorts. My, my, is that a fucking erection? I mean, he could have gotten that because of kissing her. It couldn't have possibly been me. He's straight. Insert rolling of eyes here. He hides away behind his flimsy walls, subtly adjusting himself before he faces Clara with the most fake-ass smile.
I just missed you.
Bullshit. I don't even think he believes what he's saying. Blondie sure does, and she throws herself in his arms again.
Babe, I love you so much. This time forever. I'm never leaving you again.
I have to physically force myself to turn away because if I don't, I might go over there and punch Clara or accidentally kill her. And we don't want a dead bimbo on our hands. Besides, I might have a more adequate plan for Clara. Prince Charming better watch his fucking back. 6. Nikolai. So, I realize that I need to chill the fuck out. Brandon who? The guy who will take my cock between his lips and thank me for it, that's who. No, Jesus Christ. Chill, Kolya. Just chill for one fucking second, dude. Though it's impossible to convince him of that when I've been spiraling for over 24 hours, ever since I saw that atrocious scene with Clara. While he only has that one picture of her on his IG, she definitely flaunts him all over hers.
My man, kiss. Babe, you keep me alive. Kiss. Isn't he the most handsome man ever? Kiss. Love you, sexy. Kiss.
Blah, fucking blah. According to her posts, they've been together for about 2 years. Fuck that right the fuck off. My sister Maya, the social media detective of the family, said they're in an on-again, off-again relationship. She thought I wanted to fuck Clara. To which she scrunched her nose and told me to stay away because she was just so hung up on this Brandon guy and I could do so much better. Couldn't care less about that. One piece of information remained in my head. On and off for 2 years. Interesting. Anyway, I don't care because I'm chilling. In the pool, floating face down, living my best life. I can fall asleep here. Sweet. Though I'd probably die, and that's not exactly convenient. Whatever. I'll just remain here for a bit more to relax. I sure as fuck need to stay still for a goddamn second and not entertain stupid thoughts, like maybe I should go for a morning run tomorrow. I didn't today, because if I saw pretty Clara again, I would be tempted to ruin her features, and I never, and I mean never, get thoughts of violence about girls in general. Mom brought me up to respect women, cheer them on, not bring them down. But something about that Clara. A commotion brings me out of my peaceful contemplations that are filled with blood. Lots of blood, gushing from all her fucking holes. I lift from the water with a gasp and check my watch. 3 minutes and 55 seconds. Not bad. I've been breath training for 3 years now, and the time I spend without breathing is improving. Aside from riding my bike with Jeremy, this happens to be the only method that helps me wind down. Probably because I'm almost dead at that time. There's also brutalizing people, but that only pumps me up and doesn't bring me down from the blood-soaked phase. Considering my brain's tendency to get high as a kite at unfortunate moments, I had to find a coping mechanism to counter that loud phase. I lift myself up at the edge of our indoor pool located in the underground level of the mansion. Usually it's hard to hear anything when I'm here, but something's different now. Is it trouble? Fuck yeah. I walk to the bench, shaking water from my hair, then use the towel to dry the haphazard strands. I pick up my phone and pause at the notification on the top of my screen. I open it so fast I nearly drop the phone. So I might have been messaging Brandon on IG, you know, because I'm a goddamn pest like that. He didn't answer them for 3 days. My texts were along the lines of, "It's me, winky face. Nikolai, in case the handle didn't give me away. Wanna hang out? Like friends?" Okay, that was a lie. Being friends wouldn't work since you're such a delight to be around, all standoffish and grumpy and shit, the exact opposite of fun. "We could have a drink." GIF of a bored kid tapping the table. "We could do this all day, Prince Charming. Love talking to your inbox. What a fucking thrill. Why do you always use the same hashtag? Is there a meaning behind that? Why do you play lacrosse? Can you send me your playlists that you listen to all the time? Not really into rock, but I love discovering new music. Also, isn't rock too extreme for your prim and proper image? Not that I'm judging. I actually dig the contradiction. Kind of makes it fun to try and figure you out. Why did you want to become an artist? Aren't you too uptight to be into something that requires people to let go of their creativity? Or are you different when painting? Please tell me you do that half naked. It's blasphemous to hide beautiful bodies, you know. Want to exchange numbers? Here's mine, XXXXXXX. Hello, Lotus Flowers inbox. Lovely to see you again this evening. You looked hot today. Not that I'm hitting on you or anything, since you're so straight. Let's consider this my hopeless one-sided crush on a straight guy. You don't have to reciprocate. Unless you want to. Eyebrow wiggle emoji, sunglasses emoji. Yep, all good. My texts are still sitting prettily in here. We'll check again later to make sure. I sent that text 2 days ago before I saw him with Clara. I didn't text him after that, but now I see the first reply from him earlier this evening.
"Stop bugging me or I'll block you."
But he didn't block me. He even accepted my text that was in his requests since I follow him and he obviously doesn't follow me. I narrow my eyes on the screen. Is there a meaning behind this? Why would he reply days later? Fuck this shit. Seriously, I'm losing my few remaining brain cells because of this asshole. I put on my shorts. And yes, I was swimming naked. If any of the guys came in, well, tough shit. When I arrive at the main hall, I'm greeted by one of my guards, who my parents made follow us here. Jeremy and I use them to cause mayhem more than anything.
"Sir," he starts with a Russian accent, "I thought you might want to know that your cousin Killian was attacked. He's upstairs now."
I narrow my eyes. Upstairs as in alive or upstairs as in his casket? A crease appears on his forehead and he says slowly, almost like he's not sure,
"Alive? He lost consciousness, I think."
Thank fuck. Kill's death would probably be inconvenient, not to mention bad. At least for Aunt Reina, whose mom's identical twin. But then again, this is an opportunity for violence. How will I punish those who hurt my cousin? Punch them to death? Waterboard them? Step on them in a non-erotic way, of course? Too many options. I take the stairs two at a time and swing his door open, my head sliding in first. Heard Kill nearly got killed. See what I did there? Also, whose head do I have to cut from their body, rip the flesh from, and hang on a stick? I stop mid-sentence. Well, well, well. Guess who's here? Killian's lying in his bed like a sleeping beauty, sans the beauty, and his new girlfriend Glynn and Gareth are by his side. But that's not what makes me stop. It's Glynn's beautiful specimen of an older brother, also known as the asshole Brandon, in my house. I walk inside, deliberately slowly, keeping my attention on him. For a second, his eyes widen, as if he didn't want to see me in my own fucking place. Happy to crush your hopes, Lotus Flower. He's dressed in a white button-down that's tucked into his khaki slacks. Khaki? Jesus, he's so prim and proper. All the more reason to ruin the fuck out of that image, see what truly lurks behind his standoffish persona and control freak facade. I stop a small distance away. Now, what do we fucking have here? Did a lotus get lost? His expression doesn't change, imitating a perfect robot, but then he lifts his hand to the back of his neck and pulls, hard, as if he has a beef with his own hair. That's it, lotus flower, break for me. This situation is amusing after the shit he pulled yesterday, so I summon my threatening tone. Was it this one who heard our kill, Gaz? Glynn watches me with slightly trembling limbs, her eyes flying from me to her overly tense brother. She hasn't known me for long, but even she has heard of my notorious reputation and tendencies to punch first and ask questions later. Though I am asking first this time. Has her brother also heard of me? I wonder what he thinks of me, and I never wonder what other people's thoughts are. But Lotus Flower is this golden boy who hides more than he shows, and I'm thirsty for any crumb I can get. Not that he makes it easy. No, Gareth says. Brandon and Glendon drove him here. They found him near their campus. For more details about the culprit, we have to wait for Killian to wake up. Is that so? My attention remains on Bran, who's basically ripping his hair out at this point. You carried the motherfucker kill all on your own? I thought you were a dainty lotus, but maybe you're stronger than you look.
I'm going back.
His voice catches at the end as he lowers his hand and smiles at his sister in that fake-ass way.
Want to come, Glynn?
No, I'm staying the night,
she says, her gaze falling on Killian, who's slumbering away without a worry in the world. Thank you for your services, cousin. If it weren't for him, Glynn's brother wouldn't be here. Maybe Kills should get hurt more in the future, work on strengthening his immune system and shit. Bran frowns, but nods.
Call me if you need anything.
Then he turns around and chooses to brush past Gareth instead of me on his way to the door. Someone is going to a lot of trouble to pretend I'm not here. Wake-up call is incoming in 10 fucking seconds. I slip out behind him, not bothering to say anything to Glynn or Gareth. Bran is already quickening his wide, controlled steps down the hall, head straight and shoulders tense like when he kissed Clara. I catch up to him and fall in step beside him. If you wanted to see me, you should have told me and I would have given you a tour.
Get over yourself.
He's looking ahead like a fucking robot.
I'm here for my sister and her boyfriend.
Tomato, tomato. Want to have that tour anyway?
No.
How about dinner?
No.
A drink?
No.
Do you have another word in your monosyllabic asshole vocabulary tonight?
No.
He says, almost on autopilot, and I jump in front of him. He nearly walks into me and has to stop abruptly, his throat working up and down, and I can't help but stare at that gorgeous Adam's apple. I want to bite it. Hard. Maybe draw blood in the meantime. The red would look fucking beautiful against his fair complexion. He steps back faster than I can blink. Even though he's a couple of inches shorter, he manages to look down on me with that condescension he wears like armor.
Are you allergic to shirts or something? Why are you always half naked?
Because I look fucking awesome, and it's a pity to hide it. Also, does this mean you were checking me out?
Nonsense. It's impossible to miss your constant state of nudity.
Constant state of nudity. Jesus, chill, my dude. You sound like a judge in court.
I'm not your dude.
He stresses the word as if it's an insult and starts to shift past me. I get in his way again, and he stops. An aura of crushing disdain radiates from him and licks my skin as he shoves a hand in his pocket and releases an exasperated sigh.
What?
Why did you reply to me earlier today? Did you miss my texts?
I was clearly telling you to stop bothering me.
But I wasn't. I stopped after, you know, your public makeout session with Clara, whom you clearly asked to come to that specific place at that specific time on purpose. What were you trying to prove, Lotus Flower? Because the way I saw it, you got hard when you had your eyes on me, not her. One minute I'm standing there, and the next he crushes my windpipe with his arm as he shoves me against the nearest pillar. My head hits the harsh stone and pain explodes in my skull. But I don't feel it. I can't. Not when his eyes blaze a fierce blue, savage, and so out of control. Hands down, the sexiest view I've ever seen.
Listen to me, you thick fucker. I've been tolerating your nonsense for far too long, but enough is enough. You're not my peer, friend, or anything in between. So crawl back into your hole and stop being in my fucking space, or I will crush you.
Talk dirty to me, baby. He growls and I shove my face in his, erasing the few inches separating us. I could easily remove his arm, but I love the pressure. I love that he lost control enough to get physical, up close and personal. That's what she calls you, right? Baby? No, it's the less glamorous version, babe. Tell me the truth. Did you get a boner because you were kissing her, or because I got an erection for you? It's not good form to look at a guy's hard-on when you're kissing your girlfriend, don't you think?
Nikolai.
He growls again, the sound masculine and fucking delicious. I want to reach out and suck it from between his lips and jam it down my throat. But most of all, I love that his control is unraveling, ripping at the edges and leaving a mess of goo in its wake. This is the hottest I've ever seen him, and I've always found him mouth-wateringly sexy. Right now, though, I don't think I can take it slow or easy. If I'm left to my own devices, I'll fuck him all up for good. I'll throw him down and have my way with him. There won't be patience or diplomacy. There will be choking, grunting, fucking, fucking, and more fucking. Jesus Christ. Chill, Kolya. We can't scare him away. I love the sound of my name on your lips. Say it again, baby.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
His arm presses further into my neck until it's hard to breathe. But if I have to smash my own vocal cords to egg him on, that's exactly what I'll do. Tell me more. I'm getting all hot and bothered with your foreplay. I love it when you curse, baby.
You fucking...
He cuts himself off, nostrils flaring and cheeks slightly flushed, but then his expression closes. I can see him slowly pulling himself together and eclipsing behind that giant wall. Hiding, retreating. Nah, hell no. Fuck that. I grab his free arm and shove him with my body mass, and that's when the most beautiful thing happens. Brandon Uptight King steps back once, twice, and lets me push him. His eyes glazed over and a tremor rushes through his entire body and beneath my fingers. He downright flinches when his back hits the opposite wall, his slightly flushed skin looking like goddamn art against the dark red wallpaper. His arm remains against my throat, but he lost the battle. My Prince Charming, all wound up and staring with those wide fucking eyes. My chest presses to his and I can feel his heartbeat thundering against mine. Thud, thud, and fucking thud as I wrap my fingers around his throat. He swallows, chest galloping and goosebumps erupting on the backs of his hands. Bran would hit me if I were to say this out loud, but he's the sexiest fucking thing I've ever seen. There's a note of innocence beneath his grouchy, standoffish edge, and I want to latch onto it, suck it dry. Destroy him through it. I inch my lips close to the corner of his as I whisper. You want to know what I think, Lotus Flower? I think you're fighting your goddamn demons to kiss her. The deeper you went, the more forced it looked. The longer you had your mouth against hers, the more burdened you looked. So it's safe to say you weren't hard.